Hello and welcome to another episode of Loose Cannon. We're off to a late start because I got distracted Googling my own account after we discussed how I got kicked out of the Loose Cannon account to tweet the Live Now tweet. And so I took a trip down that path and now we're here. So we're back again. We missed an episode the other week because of various birthdays and Mother's Day. It's kind of intercepting the Sundays, and so we're back now. We're gonna have an episode today, obviously. So we're gonna be talking about two old friends, and then we're gonna be talking maybe two old friends again, and maybe the other lore book that came out. I forgot what it was called. The Gifts and Bargains book, because that only has four entries.
Yeah,
they're kind of long entries, but it only has four. So we will either be doing that the week before Lightfall or Final Shape on June 4th, or we will be finishing up Two Old Friends on June 4th. So how have you been? That's good.
Everything's good. It's all good. It's all good.
It feels like we've been away for so long that I've like completely forgotten how to like start the show, and I'm playing catch up with myself, especially after like the whole having like the talk we had before, having to reach around like that to fucking tweet out the Live Now and all that. So how do we usually start this? I'm genuinely drawing a blank.
Just like you're doing right now. Just talking about nonsense and then we go.
Oh man.
Well, okay. So we had a good week.
Thank you.
Whether you've been playing or not, if you've been looking for Archie, like I have all over the game, or enjoying the new Crucible PvP maps, or just in general, you've been playing Onslaught or doing the Pantheon.
And Pantheon.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Pantheon. I heard they had two Rolks.
They did. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I wish they would have done some stuff like that in the other raids too. Like I know each one has its own little thing, but it would have been cool to see other stuff. Like, what if
it all comes down to time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, if they were better, if it had like an infinite amount of time to mess with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you have done for King's Fall? You were about to say?
I was just going to be stupid and say, like, Zebu or Wrath popped up and said, "Never mind, bitch. Here we go."
Never mind. I was going to say, I don't want to get too off topic about Zebu or Wrath. But so I saw something that like I'm positive was a false leak that Zebu or Wrath would be one of the first bosses in the Final Shape raid. What do you think of that? What do you think the possibility of that is, just in general?
Of Zebu or Wrath in the Final Shape?
Yeah, Final Shape raid first boss. Kind of like the War Priest of King's Fall.
No.
Yeah, right? It doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
I don't see it.
If it was Zebu or Wrath, it would be like a whole different thing. The only way I could see Zebu or Wrath. See, we haven't even officially seen Zebu or Wrath for her to be like hardcore. I'm aligned with the witness, and this is the end all be all of everything. Adorn me with your final shape aesthetic. You know what I mean? That would be weird to show off Zebu or Wrath as the way she would look when she's like, you know, with the witness, kind of like what Kallus did. So I don't think so. No, we have to see her in whatever form she is before we ever get the changed version of her.
Yeah, so that's actually an interesting idea, because as Zebu or Wrath stands right now, after season of the Witch, we kind of took her godhood away. She's no longer an immortal hive god, so she right. will be much easier to kill in theory. I guess if she was impossible to kill, and now she's possible, it is much easier.
Unless she saw no other way and aligned with the witness, and then we see the transformation like we saw with Sabathun.
I mean, she's already aligned with the witness, isn't she?
Yeah, well, I guess they're all by proxy already aligned with the witness.
No, but I mean like directly aligned with the witness.
In the lore, it doesn't seem to know. Because like, she knows the pursuit that's in front of her, so she's kind of accepted that, which is this, like, inevitable war against the universe. But I don't think that she's necessarily tied up with the final shape mindset yet, because she's still I would say that she's still driven by the whole "you killed my brothers," you know, type of mentality, and like, I've got to be the pinnacle of all Hive pantheon, we've got to bring it back, you know, like make Hive good again type of just mm-hmm. everything else doesn't matter, and I've got to get my, not revenge, but I've got to get my I gotta get my power back and all my people back and just annihilate all of y'all for what y'all did, kind of thing.
Yeah, because I can't imagine her mortality makes it so that like she's weak and frail now. It's just that the additional strength that she got from tithing, so that like she is war, so in acting war, you are tithing to her, so it's kind of like it's a war that you couldn't physically defeat her when she was the god of war, but now that she's not, it's like she's still fucking crazy strong. It's just now you actually have a leg to stand on, and so like Sarah and the Simp in chat mentioned they wonder how Ziva will be after now being immortal, considering her crazy power from when she consumed a Torah bottle, or I'm not sure if that's the word choice I would use personally, but destroyed, ravaged Torah bottle. They mentioned with a cape, which was from that, I forgot what book that was, where they had the image of Zivu. Do you remember that image? Not a book. Oh no, it was a book.
The lore book?
I am getting it.
The hard copy Lord Book.
It is this. So it's on screen now. So this, one of these pictures of Zivu Arath.
I love that.
Big like cape darkening the sky. And I mean, as badass as this is, you do kind of have to take it with a grain of salt and be like, this is an interpretation of what happened. It's not this is literally what happened. So unless it's a pure cutscene.
If you don't know already, I have to say it every time I see it because I feel compelled to. But if you don't know and you're looking at this on screen or YouTube right now, this is a famous scene in Faust, which is obviously an old book play or whatever, but they turned it into a black and white TV movie later on. And Faust, or everybody for the most part, is familiar with, you know, make a bargain with the devil and shit happens, right? Well, the Faustian bargain is kind of what derived from this whole book tale stuff. Anyway, in the movie, there's a really cool, iconic scene where I don't really want to call him the devil, but like the main demonic character is kind of arising over the city as a big, huge, shadowy form with a cape, and mm-hmm. his arms are outstretched in its exact same iconic imagery as this, what they did. So that's what they were doing, is trying to draw a parallel to that famous iconic scene in Faust where, And so what's happening below is just, all the city is in chaos. All the people are running scared or whatever. And then at the same time, people are like being influenced by the big demonic character in the sky. And they're all like turning on each other, doing, you know, sinful acts, whatever. And so it's really scary. Like, maybe not today's standard, but back then it made people like, oh my God, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen on film, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful, like, and it's in a painting too. So that's really where it came from. But
There we
Faust,
go.
you know, yeah.
I thought
Sorry.
of a better way to display it. I got a side by side now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you mentioned it because I was not aware of that. So this kind of goes to show just like the inspiration of something from another form of
Yeah,
media
there you go.
inspired this image to condone the emotions that Faust originally created. And
Right.
so while Zivu absolutely decimated Tora Bottle, I would be interested to learn if it was similar to this, or if this is just like the looming
Right.
threat of Zivu over Tora Bottle.
Well, the really cool thing, if you try to break it down and try to see if there's any kind of like seed that they're planting here in Faust, he starts off as just like a little whisper in the ear, and then it kind of spreads from there. People are becoming like more sinful, more like, you know, bad,
Sorry, wait, I have to cut
whatever.
you off. Is that Zivu or is that Savathun? Why do I think it was Savathun? Why do I remember thinking it was Savathun?
Not Zivu.
That's Zivu in the Okay.
And so it kind of starts off as like a whisper, and then it kind of spreads from there, and people become bad and do more bad things, and then it just becomes overwhelming, and the whole city is just thrown into this whole like, we're bad now, you know, almost like how a zombie infection would spread or whatever, but not anything biological. It's just kind of like an influence that happened. And it's pretty cool to kind of think that like the end of times would happen in such a way. It started off so small and it was just spread. But anyway, the original 1926 painting, which shows Faust, and it's almost like a bat creature. And it's even prettier than the film shows, but you can see where the film took from the fine art painting, and then you can see where Destiny took from the film.
Yeah. And so before we get back on with the main structure of the show, Sarah in the Simp in chat also mentioned that they hope they save Zivu Wrath for post Final Shape to make it interesting. And I believe we're not the only ones that think this, but we believe that the third episode, Heresy, will be the Zivu Wrath episode. And the interesting thing about that is the title. Like in the background, we see a Hive Knight sword, so that's why we attribute it to Zivu Wrath. But what is the heresy that could be in that episode if it is Zivu Wrath? Is it heretical to bring war to the once god of war, or is Zivu performing a heretical act herself and we are trying
Yeah.
to stop it? You know, it's like there's multiple ways that can go.
There definitely are. And so if it is a aligned with the witness transformation, that could be
Yeah.
seen as heretical. But there could also just
Ooh.
be, yeah. Or it could just also be one of the other members of the Hive Pantheon going against or trying to rise above it all or consume it all or take possession of it all. I like the idea that some have about Tolan. I just don't see that so soon.
You think Tol you've heard people say that heresy would be about Toland? That's interesting.
Yeah, like as if he considered what we left behind as heresy, so he takes the mantle of, you know, Hive Pantheon or whatever.
I could see it personally.
Yeah.
I could. I don't think they would, but I see where whoever said that, I absolutely see where they're coming from. Like if it
Yeah, me
happened, I'd be
too.
like, oh shit. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't put my money on it.
I just don't know if now would be the best time. Maybe
Yeah.
not. I don't know. It just seems
Well,
too early.
you say now, but that's episode three. Like Final Shape,
Oh,
episode one, episode two.
yes. But they all come out at the same time, and you can kind of like, because
No,
they do one
there's
A and
there.
then do 2B, and then like, you know what I mean?
No, they're staggered.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't come out like From what I remember, if I remember correctly, unless it's changed, the
Well,
seasons will come out, but they don't necessarily do all in order, like season one, two, three, two, two, three.
episodes, just to keep the
Yeah,
terminology
sorry, episodes. Yeah,
from being
episodes.
muddied.
There we go.
So the episodes would have also been delayed due to the final shape delay, because technically we should be playing Echoes right now based on the original time frame. But so each episode has three acts, and I think the first it's like it's I'm pretty sure it's like front loaded in their acts. Like the first acts are like the big meat, and then it's kind of just play the game after that. Based on what I remember, I haven't thought about this in about a fucking year, so if I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
Same.
But
I could be
so,
just throwing out all kinds of misinformation right now.
yeah, and so just based on the calendar, Echoes was supposed to be from, is that March or May? From March to June. So like,
Golly, dude. Everything's messed up.
yeah, a 3 month span of episodes, Act One, Two, and Three, and then, Revenant picks up July to October, and Heresy picks up November to February. So if Final Shape was supposed to come out in February and Echoes was supposed to come out in March, assuming the episodes are still on track for their intended release cadence, in July we should get Echoes, and with that it would be July to October, November to February. So we won't see Heresy until next year in March. Just based on the cadence they planned for. Assuming that all still goes to plan is the question. So like they have a whole year to bake Toland into this, like, what is Toland up to type of thing. And so I could see it being Toland. I wouldn't personally bet it being Toland.
Well, the two things that have always plagued my mind every time there's a new new season, if you will, new whatever,
Episode.
is the episode, whatever, is the concept art from D1. I always go back to the concept art from D1 because I'm like, well, which one are we going to see now, right? And so, like, we saw the pyramids, and then they took forever to show up, and then here, and we're just kind of like, eh. But like, we saw a lot of stuff early on, like the traveler being in space and stuff like that. Anyway, one of the things we haven't seen is the concept art where everything's like, it looks like what would be, it's almost like a vast city area, but it looks like it's aboard a pyramid ship, almost. Not really, maybe not. I don't know. And it's green, and in the center is like that big statue, which looks like it has faces on it, and it's dripping down green. We still haven't seen that one, and that's like a really iconic one that we all are like. It's got that big round orb in the middle, that the statues are kind of like attached to the faces. I don't know if they're faces or what, but
Yeah, it has the veiled statues, and above the veiled
yes.
statues, which triggering a my trap card, is the labyrinth. And above the
Yes.
labyrinth, or maybe the labyrinth is above the sphere that looks similar to the traveler, and then it's the labyrinth, or maybe I have that reversed.
Could be. And so that makes me wonder, like, if that was something that was scrapped, or if it's waiting to show up, could that have ties to a character that's trying to take over the veil, or Zeebo or Wrath in another form? Or if people are going to be hard stanced about Zeebo or Wrath and being aligned with the witness, maybe all the dread are a byproduct of that, and we ended up going to Lubre and she did something heretical there and took them all here, and who knows, so it could play out in a number of ways. One thing we do know is that the dread enemies, two of them are like scions. So what's up with that, right?
They got incorporated via Kallus, I'd imagine.
It seems like that from the lore explanation that they kind of told us on some of the Onslaught live streams or whatever, that they gave you like a hint that they're now aligned with the witness, you know. So there's the two,
Nice.
but the other ones, so one of them looks very much like a hive, and then you have the two that obviously look like what we would consider Luray people because of the Rolk, because we know what Rolk looks like. They look like Rolk.
Oh, that's
But
interesting.
then,
I wouldn't have, I w
but then,
even though they do, I wouldn't have drawn that connection.
yeah, and then they have the obviously the Tormentor, which we already know about and fight all the time.
Yeah,
But a couple of things.
Tormentors, sorry to interrupt, but
No,
Tormentors
fine.
are an interesting thing, and that's kind of why I said what I said about the Scions being a through Kallus before death thing,
Yes.
because I remember early in the Lightfall campaign there was this just dropped line where it was like, yeah, Tormentors were used via like Kallus's breeding pools where like they create the bathers and stuff where they like bioengineer them, and it's like, okay, so maybe they're bioengineering these like psionic dread. But
We've
that it's
always
more interesting to know that the Scions are jumping ship.
had on this show, we've always gone back and said, you know, Scions are some of the most mysterious characters in the game, because they seem to be influenced and or in and around woven throughout the entire, like, you know, they're everywhere, right? And but all we know is that they were an imprisoned race that was a part of the Cabal. And then there's like the free roaming ones, and then there's like, you know, the ones that are with other people in this game. But the simple fact is that they have capabilities that are like just really powerful. I mean, the ability to move, you know, planetary bodies, if you will, you know, like,
Yeah,
but
Phobos. The
yeah, but.
Scion flares were holding it out of its intended orbit as a threat to Mars or Earth. I forgot which.
Yes. And then we know that the whole Scion slash what's his name from the raid, Nezarak, that whole storyline where the Scions were obsessed with Nezarak or something like that, Nezarek, something like that. So it makes sense that they would just naturally fall in line with the Dread as an enemy race. But what's crazy is there are other characters in here. So we have the Scions, and we have the Tormentors, and then we have the two individuals that look somewhat like people from Lubre. They just have their faces basically changed because that's what the witness does. But there's one particular enemy, and he looks like a hive. And he even when he dies, he kind of shoots out this what is it? The little character comes out. It's called a ghast, but it looks like a worm.
So we're gonna
That
put this
kind
up
of,
on screen because there's no reason for there
yeah.
not to be. So going from
Yeah.
left to right, we have the one with the cool sticks and the purple. You have the Tormentor. You have the two Lubraeans, and then you have the two Scions. And above the two Scions is the Ghast, I believe it was called.
No, the
You
one
is
above the
that?
Scions is the other one. That one's, or is that the Ghast?
I have no idea. I'm not
Oh
gonna pretend to know.
no. That's the Grim. That's the Grim. The
That's a
Grim.
Grim? Okay.
Yes. So the guy down below that looks like the hive is the Husk, and he has like swords kind of on his arm, forearms, but he looks just like you know, some of the hives that we've fought. Even he looks
Oh,
a
you're
lot
saying that's
like
a hive?
well, he looks a lot like one of the hunter hives that we fought in against Savathun, her Lightbearer hive or whatever.
You know,
The
I gotta
light hive.
say, I think that looks more like an Elixni without, but it doesn't have four sets of arms.
Well, here's why I say hive. When it dies, it ejects a ghast from its chest and it comes forward to you and it looks like a worm. When a hive dies, they leave a worm.
Yes, they did. Well, when they die from a critical hit,
Yeah.
which
So, same thing.
if I think you can see my cursor if you're watching, this section on the Tormentor in the shoulders is its critical points. Its head is not a critical point, and you might notice the husk you said has it as well. So that makes sense that it would be a critical hit
So
and that pops out.
here's the funny thing. If you don't kill, so when you kill a hive correctly, you get the worm, right? You get a critical hit, you get the worm. But if you kill the husk incorrectly, that worm comes out at you, which is
Yeah.
the ghast.
So this
So
is an image of a ghast, although it maybe they already killed a husk and that's where it came out of, but it looks like it might come out even pre-death.
it definitely happens after they died, so that must be from another one or something floating by.
All right.
So back up. So now we've got like one that kind of represents the hive, and then two that represent the scions, and then we have the tormentor we know, which is like a Nesarek scion thingy, and then we have the Lubrians, and then we have this other creature which nobody can really come up with a reason or a reconciliation as to why it exists. But I had an idea which is really crazy.
I want to hear it.
And I just think Ahamkara. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I think that. Because we know they're shapeshifters, we know they come with all different forms, but they're often described as winged creatures in their most like common form. But one thing that stands out the most about this particular dread, it's called a grim, and it has a feature that it screams at you. So it's like a banshee. It screams at you, and it can kind of like send out this devastating wave of like screaming noise, right? That is the opposite of what an Ahamkara does. Ahamkara whisper to you through their bones. The Grim has had its head removed and replaced with this witnessy type of like geometric shape that's just kind of stuck on the body. And it's almost as if an Ahamkara skull has been replaced with the witness's design, and he's taken over the body that would have made the shape-shifting Ahamkara. And now instead of whispers, it's a scream.
I like it.
So
I
that's
don't
why I
know if
go
I
there
agree
with
with it,
that.
but I like it.
But that's all I got to go with that. And it's really crazy. It's out there. But maybe there's something to it.
So when you first started talking about the
And then
concept art,
the monolith is way in the background on that scene too. But anyway, go
when you
ahead.
first started talking about the concept art, I got really excited as well. And I started looking around in all my desks because I knew I had it safe in a desk somewhere, safe in a sleeve. And so the one that I always like is this one, specifically because you have this wizard in the back that has like this like tenderly bit coming off of it. And
Oh yeah, you need to get it closer to
it
the
could be a
camera.
robe. It very well just could be like part of its robe.
Oh
But there was
yeah.
another concept art that I don't have. What is this? A stenograph? I don't have a whatever this is called, where it is even more defined and it looks like it's a wizard with spider legs. And I've never been able to like stop thinking about
Damn.
wizard with spider legs.
Yeah.
And so I thought that's what you were gonna bring up one of these just because
Yeah.
naturally, I couldn't not bring it up. And
No.
yeah, I can't find it on a quick search. I found the other wizard that everyone says is Toland, because it's like this big wizard standing on the ground,
Yeah,
commanding like.
that's the one I wish was Tolan.
I
It
think
would
it would
be
be
so cool if that
interesting.
was Tolan.
I think it would be interesting if they did that with the hive, if they had like wizard, because wizards are mother morph, so wizards have like that female evolution in their species. But I think it would be interesting. Oh, what else is in here? I think it would be interesting if there was a male variant that was this one, because it's like it's grounded. Mothers can fly, but these ones can't, you know, if it was kind of like
Yeah.
that. And instead of flying, this concept art wizard is like controlling a horde of thrall, and it'd be interesting to see like if there was like even if you kill that, like this would be like a necromantic wizard, is kind of what I'm getting at. Not that it's on screen. Sorry, I was putting everything
Oh yeah,
away.
Saren the Sith called it out. So yeah, there was that screen grab somebody had when they were doing the little teasers for the upcoming season. One of the titles down below, one of the enemies that they were fighting was it said Tormentor of Ahamkara. So there's something
Ooh.
that we'll have to do where we fight something influenced by an Ahamkara. But yeah, that picture right there, that definitely is the one that's always made me think
Yeah.
Tolan went bad.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. No, here's the exact reason why this should be a new Hive variant in
Yeah,
Heresy,
four arms.
where fucker, I was gonna say it, where Heresy should be about necromantic magic having a rise in the Hive culture, because that, oh, what the fuck, this forearm fucker right here. And look at this lumbering fucking sloth guy in the background over
Yeah,
there,
he's
just
big.
behind
He's
it.
big and he's way back behind,
Yeah.
yeah.
Like those
So
like huge ass arms. I
new
want to see
brood,
that. Yeah.
But they also have four eyes. Look at the wizard, in the middle. It's
Yeah.
got four eyes or multiple eyes,
What would
whatever.
you
I
call
don't
it
know.
if it's not a wizard? Would we just call it a warlock? That'd be kind of boring in my opinion.
I don't know. There's so many names. It's cool though. It's a really cool concept
I want
art.
to
I
give it
just,
I want to give it a good name.
when we first saw that concept art, it made me think of like zombies and just, oh shit, what if we fight the Hive and they somehow can take over people's forms and it's like the Flood in Halo or like zombies, Anyway, but
Yeah.
that did never happen.
Saren
We
suggested
also didn't
Conjurer, which I
get.
like more than Warlock, but I don't think it's quite right.
Yeah, it needs to seem almost demonic.
Yeah, right? Like it, especially if it's intended to be like this is the thing that brings back the dead. It's like it's not conjuring it, or is it conjuring the dead? Because in my mind, conjuring is like manifesting something from nothing, not resurrecting something from something.
These are definitely resurrected.
Yeah.
Speaking of resurrection, do you want to do the quick lore card real quick?
Well, I don't know. We're only a half hour into our 90-minute show. So, yeah, brought to you all from the Destiny Armory Defined. Bringing us back on track is our weekly lore card.
Okay, so this one is a quick one. It's simple. We've talked about it before. Basically, we're going to see Kvostov, or Kvostov, if however you want to pronounce it, return. And that's the first weapon you get in Destiny when you're resurrected. And he's like, eyes up, Guardian. Here's your gun. So we're on the Cosmodrome, and that's in Russia. And so naturally, there would be weapons and features and architecture named after famous Russian whatnots. And so this weapon was named after a person who famously went against Rasputin, and his name is Alexei Nikolayevich Kvostov. And he was a governor. He was a member of the Black Hundreds. He was a minister of the interior for 5 months and opposed constitutional reforms and publicly accused Rasputin of spying for Germany. He had to resign, though, after he planned to secretly have him assassinated. So, what's interesting is Kvostov was arrested and imprisoned in the Peter and Paul Fortress by the Russian Provisional Government during the February Revolution of 1917. That was a really iconic moment back when the czars were going away, and then the newer Russia was becoming or being formed, if you will. So this was a very pivotal moment in time for Russia's hardcore history that they've had. And so in 1918, less than a year after that, the Bolsheviks, which were the new Russians, seized power, and he was executed by a firing squad in Petrovsky Park, Moscow. One little quick thing about him. If you can imagine, if you can imagine Kvasov as kind of being like the guy that was Rasputin bad, and I've got to win this election so that we can get rid of this dude who's manipulating the czars and ruining everything. Had he gotten his way, a lot of stuff would have been way different. So this is a moment in time that, like, if Rasputin, I know Rasputin's was like the hardest, famously one of the hardest people to kill historically. Like, there's all kinds of rumors and like lore about Rasputin being, poisoned and stabbed and shot and still lived, right? Before he was finally killed. And then, like, he's even escaped other assassination attempts, famously, but by other people that are actual weapons in Destiny as well. But anyway, bringing it back. Kvostov wanted Rasputin taken out. Had he gotten his way, everything in Russia would have been completely different. We would have had a completely different outcome. So it's just interesting that, maybe they knew that, maybe they didn't know that, as far as Destiny is concerned, for naming this gun what they named it, or it was just a neat little callback to some stuff that actually happened in real world. Rasputin was named Rasputin not because he was like seen as the end all be all horror that we had in game. It was just he got that nickname from doing some horrible things. And I guess in a way his residency was somewhat in co the Cosmodrome. So, these names get attributed to people for the acts they do, or nicknames, or if you will, later on, because he was the war mind. He was the war mind first, but ended up becoming Rasputin. But this weapon was Kvostov, and it's named after this dude. So he tried to kill Rasputin. But then, that was because he was convinced that he was a spy for Germany when they were, at war. And the evidence that Rasputin actually worked for the Germany was like a really hard thing to prove. So he couldn't do that. But because he was so loud and vocal about it, and this became his, like stance on it, he really, really kind of like, set a light on himself, and everybody was just looking at him. And basically, like, they were like, well, you better be right, because if you're not, that's it. And he couldn't prove it. And so, after trying to assassinate Rasputin, they just locked him up for a while. And then, eventually, when the new Russia was becoming overtaken by Bolsheviks, they just had him executed. So, it's interesting. Not saying he was a good person, because he did some pretty bad stuff too, but just saying everything probably would have been way different had he succeeded in doing what he's doing. One little note, his name's Alexei, obviously. It's spelled different, depending on where you are, but we do have another character in the lore, and it's the only other character in lore with the same spelling as we use for Alexei normally, which is with an I at the end. And that particular lore entry has some neat little tie-ins too, about somebody who didn't want to create weapons for such megalomaniac type of people. And it's kind of neat that that was in there. So it's the only other mention of Kvasov in lore if you use the first name, Alexei. So
How do you
maybe
spell
or maybe
Alexei?
not. Alexei.
EI.
EI, yeah.
There you go. Hoarfrost Z for anyone
Yeah.
interested in reading it.
Yeah, which basically is like the chess piece that looks like a traveler almost. It's got the big orb on the chest and whatnot, and it's it was created by this Alexei person, but not really like knowing it was going to be a war weapon or something or other, and he just didn't like, he didn't like where things were going, but he was forced to. So maybe or maybe not, it's the same person who created Kvostov.
Well, that seems unlikely, right?
Yeah, I
An
know.
ancient instrument of war, battered and worn. Nah, there's no shot.
Yeah. Not the real not the real Kolosov, obviously, but
Yeah.
just somebody else named Alexei.
Your ever skeptical Hakka exile.
Yep. See? Exile. Anyway, it's just funny.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Horfrost Z is a stasis, because it's a Titan, so I don't know what the hell it does. It's a stasis-centric exotic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Want to know what it horf
No, I
does.
think it just has something to do with the light. I think it came out at that time, but
When using the stasis subclass, your barricade becomes a wall of stasis crystals that slow nearby targets when created. Standing behind this barricade will grant you and your allies increased weapon reload speed, stability, and range.
Oh, yeah. Then yes, you're right.
Huh.
Interesting.
I mean, of all the things that he's like upset about creating, your barricade is now stasis. It's kind of like, that's
I
fine.
don't think it was, I don't think it was that. I think it was the actual piece of armor, because it just ended up becoming later on used for like the darkness power of the stasis. But the original armor piece, because there's something that a lot of this goes way back. Like even Lucky Raspberry was created out of fallen Warmind satellite pieces,
Yeah.
just imbued with light and used different ways. So that it just like the weapon we got, Centrifuge, was tied to the people that were trying to create new energy creation ways, but it was weaponized.
I
So
want to
it
read
could
this. I
it,
want to read this entry really
okay.
quick, because I'm like silently reading it to myself, so I might as well just read it to the show.
It.
So, no great wonder can stand forever if it is constructed on a lie, Alexei. The last city, Earth. GX818 experimental notation. Recovered hive ghost inoperable. Still responds to electrical impulse. Ran gauntlet of tests and gleaned welcome protocol data. New chess rig comes in handy for experimentation and observation. Every time the ghost exhibits movement, can render it inert without so much as lifting a finger. Must employ this technique in future studies. Hardware architectural analysis confirmed that the derelict creature exhibited a malleable structure, certainly wasn't created with a specific framework in mind, and looks to have adopted its configuration to its light bearer once acquired. Is this necessary for the bonding process, for creating the perception of a companionship? Is it possible for a ghost to connect to a light bearer without undergoing restructuring? Previous behavioral studies have shown that ghosts can be selective given the lack of pre-programmed directives. It is now clear that they make a conscious choice about whom to revive. Hardware evidence suggests that ghosts were always capable of reviving Hive, perhaps always intended to. Addendum for Spider. You've asked me why I like to tinker with your toys before I deliver them. Well, here you are, proof of what I've been saying all along. We live at the whims of a god who blesses the few at the expense of the many. We follow leaders who claim to understand the speechless orb, and we are expected to do as it wills, no matter the cost to ourselves. So many people still condemned to die, and willingly granted immortality to a death cult served on a silver platter by these automata. I hate that fucking word so much.
Yeah.
Well, I too have a will, and I will not prostrate myself before something capable of such evil. Your ever skeptical Hakka exile, Alexei. Interesting. Okay. So that's why.
There's a
So it sounds like he's actually using this chess piece. New chest rig comes in handy for experimentation and observation. Every time the ghost exhibits movement, can render it inert without so much as lifting a finger. So by creating a stasis wall around it, thus slowing it and kind of trapping it.
Interesting. That's cool.
Huh.
Yeah. If you look at the chess piece itself, it looks like it was just made out of a big servitor
Yeah,
or
I would, because you said a
traveler.
yeah,
Yeah, but
traveler.
like
I didn't
it's not.
agree with traveler. Here, I'll put it up on
I
screen.
said traveler because of the lore explanation of using a ghost or the pieces of a ghost, to try to understand the ghost as to how it, because the servitors were created out of the Ulyxnes idea of the traveler,
Yeah.
and the ghosts were created from pieces of the traveler. So like all of that. And then if you look at the chess piece, it kind of is like, what was he trying to figure out necessarily? Like, why ghosts choose guardians? Why this, that, and the other? And are the pieces as important as whatever inhabits the individual that is the ghost? I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. I think it's just meant to create more questions than answers.
You know what will never happen, but I would go fucking nuts for? A spin-off single player game where you play as like House of fucking take your pick. And
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
it's like all you're playing as like a Vandal or something, right? Like not a dreg, so like kind of middle of the road, and
Yeah.
you have all like the religious politics involved with the house, and like you're at war with another house, and I think that'd be
Yeah.
awesome. I think it could be awesome. Maybe it'd be better
That would be
as like
cool.
a book, like a story, a comic maybe. That'd be awesome. Maybe it
Just
wouldn't.
come
I
out
don't
with
know
a
how that would
damn.
play.
Just come out with a TV show and do it
Yeah, or a
like
show.
Black Mirror, but with just like individual characters that are from the Destiny world, Destiny universe, not necessarily iconic characters. Those iconic characters can just like walk in and out of
Yeah,
frame. That would be
cameo.
cool.
A day in the life of a they that would be a great thing, like a comedic episode where they do like a day in the life of just like a random city citizen who keeps like getting cut in front of by famous guardians. It's like every fucking day. Osiris is always getting privileged treatment at my favorite coffee shop.
Oh shit. That's funny.
All right. So let's go on and get into this lore book. So we're going to be reading this lore book as we have been doing, and let's take turns going back and forth. This lore book is really interesting. I'm really kind of like reminiscent about it because is every almost every entry is titled Grimoire and then following like things, and the other half of them are called articles or allies. And for people who used to play, we used to have Grimoire in like every DLC, every expansion, Dark Below, House of Wolves, Taken King, Rise of Iron. It would be common to get like you had Fallen 1 and Fallen 2, but now you have Fallen 3, and now you have Fallen 4 and 5, and now you have Fallen 6, and it's like it's expanding the world of what Fallen are. And that was always like one of my favorite things. Like when a new DLC came out, it was like time to search Ghost Fragment Fallen
Right.
and find it, you know? I'll start. So Grimoire the City, Onslaught. Our enemies never relent, neither will you, Lord Shaxx. Despite the sharp breeze in the tower, the air in Shaxx's outpost is uncomfortably still and weighted with tension. There is work to do. Personal feeling must not interfere when certain doom hangs over all their heads. We can't afford to play defense now. Not now. Shaxx stares fixedly at the training plans drawn up for his guardians. Then offense will have to see us through this fight. That should come naturally to you. Saladin's posture is legionary perfect. Then that's that, teeth gritted under his helmet. Shaxx folds his arms. After a long moment, he adds, "Good talk." Saladin nods, "Good talk." They look at the screen in silence. There is nobody to rescue them. That's. They said nothing. Good talk. What do you think that
Yeah,
last bit
appreciate it.
means?
I don't know. It's kind of like
Like,
it's kind
there's
of like
nobody to rescue them, meaning the enemies.
I think so.
Yeah. So it's clearly talking about the city map for the onslaught activity, in which case we are fighting back pyramid forces. So
Oh, well, I
no
tried
time
to
for
open.
defense, just offense.
Yeah. I tried to open the. I closed it and now I can't open it back up. What the hell?
No.
No.
All right.
You just read.
I'll try it again. There we go. I don't like taking off the full screen. But yeah, while you try, I'll
Yeah.
just read the next one. So the next one is
Yeah.
Grimoire Eris Morn, Hive God of Vengeance. Eris, Tenacious Eris, Crota's Bane, Oryx's Sorrow, Ruin of Zivu Arath. To see you reduced once again to a minion of the Awoken Queen, examining a locked gate for signs of weakness, rattling the bars to the afterlife when you might have kicked the door in. This very plane could have been yours. What you lacked in natural talent, you fashioned from scholarly genius. Your will is the thing, and I mistook yours. How you burned with it, the noble vindication of victory. Every sword ever raised against you, can I say against us? Down through the long years of history, vengeance killed Oryx. Why not his sibling? But you threw the match. What good is a mortal blow half delivered? You wet your blade and threw it down. The throne of war abandoned. A thousand races fed that glorious polyp. All that hard-won evidence. You didn't even look at it. I could have guided you. Don't you see that? What will you do now? Kick down their banners. Hope for vengeance without bloodshed. And through what realms have you stamped the proof of your cause? I too avenged? Why would I want that? Wait, come back. So, obviously, Toland giving Eris the same basically speech he gave us after we killed Crota.
It's so odd, like, that even after all of this time, he's still so hard stanced on. You should have taken over. Like, there's so much potential here for, it's almost like what do you have to gain from all of this other than you were right? It's like you're so,
Yeah.
he's out there in the well, he's floating around in the
Sea of Screams.
Sea of Screams, yeah. And he talks to us on the moon in the form of orbs, but yeah.
He's clearly a fanatic. He's obsessed with hive magic. He's obsessed with the hive power structure. He craves that power for himself. What I wonder is, does he feel stupid? Because
No, because he's too
no,
narcissistic to care.
that's a good point. That he probably fucking is. He joined the Crota fire team, which was of course Eris, Ariana, Vel'Tarlo, Omar Agath, and forgetting one. Saimoda. Saimoda. And
Saimota.
He obviously joined this fire team, and based on the context, we don't have like hard proof of this, but based on the context of what went down with this fire team, he was like, I don't give a fuck about them. I'm going into the Hellmouth specifically so that I can learn more hive shit, and I'm gonna go sing the death song in sync with Eriu and shuck my mortal body and become what we see him as. And it's like, cool, you did it. Congratulations. But now he's just watching us like decimate hive gods with our mortal bodies and then not taking the power. And it makes me wonder if he goes like, man, I should have just fought the gods. I could have just taken the fucking power if I just fought the gods. I did this whole fucking singing a song bullshit, lost my body, and now all I can do is watch. But this entry does raise a good point to heresy being about Toland.
Well, and I'm it's a bandwagon type of thing. You know, we want to jump on it. We've all wanted to see Tolan in game in some capacity.
Yeah,
I
of
don't know.
course.
I just think it would be natural to eventually have some kind of Tolan form show up in a way, or some influence of
More
Tolan show
so
up in a
than
way.
he is now, yeah.
I mean, Osiris was just a murmur forever until we finally saw him in, you know, the Warmind expansion, the first Mars expansion,
Curse
which
of
everybody
Osiris.
hates. Curse of Osiris, yeah.
That's when we, right? We met him in Curse of
Yeah.
Osiris, didn't we?
Yeah. No, wait. Is that what the name of that one was?
Well, it went Curse of Osiris and then Warmind, but did we not meet him in Curse of Osiris?
Because it was the cult of Osiris that we were talking to, and he
Yeah,
didn't
we were
actually
talking
show
to
up until,
Vance.
yeah. Because
But
if
didn't something
Osiris wasn't
happen with
around
Se
for a while.
No, but because that's when we had Sagira, right? Because he was like trapped. He was trapped in the Infinite Forest.
It's been 10 years of this, dude.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That is, man, we were saying that before the show started. Just like it's been a fucking decade since we started
Yeah.
playing this game. So like there's like all these like things that happen, and unlike many other things, we can't just go back and play them again. So they kind of like leave your memory forever. Like there are book series that have been going on for a long time now. Like I think book 11 is coming out in July. And so I'm rereading it, and I'm like, I just finished book one, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like realizing these like things that the author like just like placed in there in the beginning, and I'm like, this is gonna mean something in book 11. Holy shit, I didn't realize how important that
Wow.
was. You can't do that with Destiny.
Nope, you cannot.
That's a bummer.
It would have been so great had they just kept everything accessible, at least. Like,
Yeah.
I know assets and like memory and all that, and I don't know.
I think the interesting thing to do would to be to create like a single player only and just like scale down the damage of everything, like a single player only narrative driven where it's like you're just gonna play the story and there's no online, there's no anything, there's no PvP. This is just to experience the game and just like
Yeah.
have at it, you know?
Yeah.
Were you able to open the dock or am I still reading?
No, you're still reading. It just won't work. I think it's making me request access now for some reason. I guess I
That's,
signed out.
yeah, maybe you did. But I mean, I gave you, in any case.
I know. It
So the
just won't
next
work.
entry is Grimoire, the Ironwood Tree. Not much sense in memorializing anybody during the Dark Age. Anyone worth remembering, you'd hang on to them without trying. Drifter crouches down in front of the Ironwood Tree, mindful of the offerings littering the ground. The amulet's nothing fancy. Not one of these Iron Lord tokens, but handmade and with some care. Joxer's name is easy to read, crisp lettering. Dumb heroics will get you every time. Volunteering, first one through, show us sh so the rest of us know not to try it, Drifter smirks. He'd have a fighting chance against the primeval. Big payout if he made it. Cleaner death if he didn't. Lord Shaxx shifts his weight, his helmet cants toward the Drifter. But then you wouldn't be standing there. There's no reply. So for those who don't know who Joxer is, well, is Joxer Luna's Howl?
What?
Is Joxer the Luna's Howl guardian?
The doggy's owner?
Yeah.
A Joxer, wait a minute. Is Joxer not the one that went and died?
No, they are. They are. I'm just trying
Okay,
to I'm just, I was just trying to bring it back all the way to the beginning of Joxer. Because they did stuff for the Drifter, kind of like helping him set
That
up
is
Gambit
correct.
and everything.
Yes.
Ultimately though, Joxer was the Titan who tried to fly, not tried to fly. Wait, was it fly through the portal?
Yeah, and then
And
got
then he got
sliced.
sliced up by
No.
the witness.
Yeah, sliced and his ghost.
Yeah, and his ghost, yeah. Who was the Lunas Howl Guardian?
But no, Joxer was the one that was in the Ahamkara Hunts.
Yeah. Joseph.
That. Oh yeah, see that sounds like
See
Joxer, but it's
how close
Joseph.
that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Joseph was the
Yeah.
guardian who lost his dog in the Battle of Mare Imbrium, and so Lunas Howl was created.
No, Joxer would have been tied up with the Ahamkara, which is why Shaxx would be like. I could also see like why Joseph and Shaxx had something to do with each other too, obviously because of the gun. But no, Joxer has that whole alignment with Shaxx because Shaxx famously fought in Ahamkara and even has a stupid skull above his crucible area landing area. But anyway, he Joxer was like doing runs for the Drifter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool, kind of thinking that this character, but it just sucks for what we saw of Joxer in game. It's you got this cool character that did all this stuff in the background in all these different places. Shaxx, Drifter, Ahamkara Hunt, but then, dead witness.
Yeah, Joxer was in the Ancient Apocalypse Mark
Yeah,
lore entry.
those are cool armor pieces,
I didn't really
lore-wise.
like them that much. They were a little too bulky for my liking.
Yeah, no, just lore-wise. I didn't
Oh
care for the way they looked.
yeah.
Yeah.
Where like the first paragraph, Drifter made his way back towards the rear of the train from where he had come. He passed Joxer and Redrix, who are both like two
Yeah.
big crucible guys.
Yeah, Redrix's broadsword.
Who had apparently found the Red Jacks Drifter had decapitated. The two scrambled to put the frames back together before the train reached the city. So like Joxer worked pretty close with Lord Shaxx. And he's probably also very famous for his this line where he goes, "I miss my mythoclast," which is a reference
Yeah, what
to
the
the Red War destroying all of our weapons.
hell?
So, yeah. And then Drifter could hear the frown inside his voice. "Yeah, you had a mythoclast, and the Cabal still took the tower. The light failed you, failed me too." He's like, Drifter doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. It's cool though they're bringing him up now because he's a integral character to the banishment of certain weapons, and so Shaxx and him having a little discussion here is important because Joxer was a part of that whole like, I want to use the bad boy weapons in the Crucible, but then they were banned, and he's always been kind of pining for that, and like, he's messed with Tex Mechanica stuff, he's messed with the Mythoclast stuff, he's messed with weapons, like even like dark influence weapons and stuff. So it's kind of funny. And also the Drifter, because the Drifters always loves to do things you're not supposed to do. So it makes sense that he has ties to the Drifter as well. And then it comes full circle because Shaxx is just kind of like, overseeing all of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just interesting that they wove that in there.
Yeah, and naturally now Shaxx is like, "All right, we're bringing these like illegal to use weapons back with
Yeah.
the next entry,
Yeah. These
Grimoire Brave Arsenal." So Lord Shaxx, oh, he's quite a craftsman, but then of course he's a survivor like us. He loves rewarding his pupils with praise and, at times, with something more material. He invests great care in his designs. Still, sometimes a weapon has an unexpected kick, a side effect. He locks these away for special occasions. Other times, the Vanguard intervenes. You never know where you'll find the next ghost killer. But outside the Crucible, the rules of engagement shift. There's no sense in leaving a perfectly good armament in storage. "Don't worry, Namrask. I do not intend to abandon the loom. I am merely consulting. I am surprised Lord Shaxx let Drifter contribute. His aptitude is not in question, but I thought, what? Oh, yes. Low-level radiation is to be expected." So this one must be Ada, right? Working the loom,
Yeah.
but getting pulled away to
Yeah.
bring back some
Yeah.
Black Armory
Yeah.
weapons for the Brave Arsenal. And Namrask, also known as Akliax, it's supposed to be a play on Achilles, but he says it, he can't pronounce it. And Namrask destroyed London, so good for him.
Yeah. So he was the one that did egg cloth, or no? Was that a different one?
No, that was him. Because it was
Yeah,
like
so that
after he
he
fell
has a
so
parallel
far.
story with, yes, he has a parallel story with Ada, because Ada felt useless when times changed, and Namrask felt useless with times changed, and they both ended up just spinning cloth of some form, or weaving things to make themselves useful again. So it's kind of neat to see that they're both full circle coming back in a moment in a parallel way. In game right now, if you go to Ada, she gives you a quest to receive any of the past, your choice of a past raid weapon, if you haven't gotten on one already. But like, you play Pantheon, if you do all the key markers against the people, you can go pick a weapon that you may or may have not been lucky enough to have obtained from all the other raids.
Very cool.
So it's kind of neat that she's in charge of that too. She's also in charge of, or partly in charge of, the Archie quest. So she's being useful. She's not just for shaders and old armor.
Finding your place in the world.
Yeah.
So the next entry is Article Down on the Farm by Ember Haddad,
Oh yeah, I like
senior
this one.
editor
I
at the
like this.
City Herald. Readers might be forgiven for imagining that after having been captured by Shadow Legion forces, EDZ residents might consider relocating to the last city. I took a trip out of the famed settlement known as the Farm, to talk to the civilians of the FOTC officers still stubbornly posted at the edges of the world. We're not fighting for one city, we're fighting for humanity, says Baishan, one of the farm's technicians. Baishan is charged with maintaining the farm's few precious remaining generators, and more recently, its ether processors. This is our world, and we're going to keep staking a claim. Naomi, a pilot with the forces of the city, has been overseeing regular supply runs to the farm in the wake of fierce bombardment by the Shadow Legion. She sees this as par for the course. Humans are good at adapting to just about anything, she observes. For many, the true revelations have come as a result of continued cooperation with New Elixni neighbors. Longtime farm resident Carol notes, there's a lot about fallen tech we couldn't have guessed at. With Skiris and Rixor helping out, we've cobbled together our own solar cell network. Our energy output is five times what it used to be. The first step toward long-term projects is getting out of our starvation mode. And the people here do think long term. Few of the people I interviewed seem to have such interest in returning to the safety of the city wall. Seem to have much interest. That seems like a typo. Few of the people I
Few of the
interviewed
people
seem
I
to have
interview,
much interest. The witness tore down our cities, blighted our air and water, and sent raiders and monsters after us. We're still here, waiting for the first chance we get to take it all back. The way I see it, those of us here on the farm are just getting a head start. That's actually pretty interesting. So it's like for a while now, like with the launch of Destiny 2, we had Hawthorne kind of try to convince us that it's not just Guardians who are in this fight, and they really haven't done anything with just regular humans since, short of Amanda, who then sacrificed herself very immediately. So it is interesting to see that there is kind of like people in the background being like, you know what? No, fuck the witness. I'm not living in behind a wall anymore. I'm gonna do it out here. That's pretty cool. I like that.
It's pretty cool. They're kind of carving out their own little like area to just occupy. One key note, this is the first time we've had the acronym FOTC, which is Forces of the City
Oh, like first time
officers.
today?
No, first time in lore, in Ishtar, if you were to search FOTC.
No fucking way.
which I thought was, yes sir, it's the official first appearance of FOTC written out that way.
Huh.
That's why I thought it was really cool. It's nice because we see an official. We always knew that FOTC was a thing in game, and how did we know that? Because of like weapons and what they write on them and how they show like different things, but we never had an official
Yeah.
lore entry that showed it, which is great. So they made it a thing officially.
Yeah, FOTC, for anyone who doesn't know, is the symbol of like a hexagon created of several dots that has like white dots that has the one black dot in the center. That's the
Yes.
FOTC logo. And so
Yes.
many Vanguard weapons have FOTC logos, which imply that it's like it
Yes.
was made FOTC, but then the Vanguard kind of like did their own little upgrades to it.
Right. Another famous piece of armor is the old exotic from it was the Titan exotic that let you thrust in the air. What was it called?
Oh, yes. I don't remember what it was called, but I'm sure everyone else does.
Yeah, it has the it is sorry, it has the two little
The
the two
Titan
little
exotic
blinking
that let you do
lights.
aerial dash.
Yeah. It has the two little blinking lights on it, like as if you were an airplane in the sky so that you could see be seen. But also it has the FOTC symbol on
Yeah, well,
there.
it has their other symbol, which is
Yeah, the other symbol too was
the
it.
swoopy lines, yeah. Because it
Yeah.
seems like their weapons usually have the dots, but then it used to be on the vaults in the old tower, the swoopy line symbol
Correct.
that kind of looks like a W, but instead of creating a triangle point, it creates a big circle.
Yes.
I'm not gonna bother looking into these. I'm
No worries.
just gonna keep reading. So our next entry is Grimoire Enemies, Reaver Vandal. Death is the great mystery to us all, Master Rahul. The question of Elixni mortality. Remember the other Cryptarch
Cryptarch? Yeah.
from the reef that died?
Yeah.
Remember he was murdered and we went to go find out who murdered him and it was just
Yeah.
like a fallen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fucking weird. That they
That was
just
messed up too.
that was why'd they
Like
kill
they're just
him?
gonna kill him. They're like, we can't take you back to the reef anymore, so let's just kill this guy.
Yeah, they're like he's not doing anything, 'cause he's dead.
You know, it would be so funny if they brought the reef back and he was there and they accidentally made a
They
mistake.
forgot. Yeah, it's like I'm his twin brother. What was his name? Was it like Ike or something?
What was his name? There's a good line in the lore between him and the Cryptarch having an argument from when we first saw him. But no, I
Yeah,
can't remember his name right now. Shit.
he talks a
Damn
lot
it.
of shit. Ives. His name is Master
Ives, yes, Master
Ives.
Ives. Yeah, because I made a meme of him drinking a 40 and I called him Saint Ives.
Yeah, see, what they should do is they bring back the reef, and then when we go there, we see Master Ives, and we're like, oh my God, Master Ives, you're dead. And he goes, what? No, I'm Master Mives. Ives is my brother.
Oh shit. That's
I became a
sweet.
Cryptarch after the murder of my brother, who was also a Cryptarch.
Yeah. Which are awoken, by the way.
Yeah. Seemingly always, right? Because it was that's why there's like a rivalry between the reef-born Cryptarchy and the earth-born
Yep.
Cryptarchy.
And the Earthborn, yep.
Yeah. In any case, the question of Elixni mortality is often discussed among members of the Cryptarchy. Stories of Elixni arising in full health from a death or near-death state, as Mithrax did, some say, abound. Clever. The Reaver of Old Russia is its oh my God! The Reaver of Old Russia is attested to in dozens of Vanguard records. Experienced guardians will swear on their ghosts that they once killed a Reaver Vandal who was uncannily strong for his size, only to see him alive and well again the next day. They have given him a nickname, perhaps as a show of respect for another being seemingly immune to death. That has two deep cuts. That's awesome. The first one naturally being Mithrax, who, if you didn't know, back in what was that era? Was that just like Destiny 2 vanilla?
Yeah, D2 or early enemy of my enemy.
Yeah, Titan. So D2 vanilla. It wasn't like a DLC or anything. It was just like the base game.
No, it was just a mission. Yeah.
Yeah. So in Enemy of My Enemy, we fight Mithrax or don't fight Mithrax. So like we enter a room and we see the captain who would become Mithrax fighting a knight. And if you do not put any damage on Mithrax and only shoot the knight, Mithrax will like thank you and leave and just be like, all right, you know,
yeah,
we're cool.
Which is the canon ending.
Well, now that's kind of put into question because now they're saying, like, obviously it's the canon ending because otherwise you kill Mithrax, you fight Mithrax and you have to kill him. You can't stop damaging him after you've opened that door. But this is saying full health from a death or near death state. So we killed Mithrax and he was still like, yeah, we're cool. I get it.
Yeah.
And the other one naturally being Randall the Vandal, who they announced his nickname, but they didn't say his nickname.
Yeah. That's the best one. Randall the Vandal from the Cosmodrome D1. You couldn't kill him. And he was like on your way to one of the patrol areas. So like when you pass by, he just starts shooting you. And if you engaged him, he was like almost impossible to kill.
Not the Moth Yards. What was that area? It was the area after the Moth Yards, and he would be across the brook from that like tower.
Just on a stupid ledge. Like way through that little ravine.
He would come out of the cave.
Yeah. This
crazy amount of health.
What a jerk.
Seriously. Like first question, what gives you the right? In any case, we are pretty much at our time, and the next entry is a long one. I don't think we're gonna have the time to get into it. It looks like it's a good one too, with a name that I have no idea how to pronounce. So I'll research how to pronounce that name for next episode, unless I forget, which is probably what's gonna happen. Our next find out next time on Loose Cannonball Z. Our next episode will be on June 2nd. That is 2 days before the final shape. We are going to try to finish this lore book with our excitement of like some predictions in the beginning. We kind of gave some, we give predictions? We did a little predictions on the episodes.
I think we just gave some we just put some feelers out there, a bunch of fingers.
Yeah. We just talked about things. In any case, so join us there. If you came in late and you want to watch us, this episode will be up on YouTube along with our other episodes. If you just want to listen to us, our episode will be everywhere else. The podcast apps are fucking collapsing. Did I tell you about that? How I had to go through three podcast apps in the span of 4 months because they just keep shutting them down. You can still find us. We're still hosted on Anchor, which puts us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything else. It's just, I hope you can find us from wherever it is that you're currently listening to podcasts. To find more of us, go on Twitter, at Loose Cannon Show, as it is spelt there. Our pinned tweet will have a source showing off everywhere we are, with the exception of the podcasts that were linked that are now gone, because I'm not gonna mess with the link tree. We hope you had a good time. We certainly did. Bye, everybody.
Bye.